TriStar Pictures. Robert Gould Shaw, the son of wealthy Boston abolitionists, was 23 years old when he enlisted to fight in the war between the states. He wrote home regularly, telling his parents of life in the gathering Army of the Potomac. These letters are collected in the Horton Library of Harvard University. TriStar Pictures presents Glory. The sun burns low on the horizon, bathing the sky in shades of amber and shedding its glow over a vast army encampment of white tents, a row of cannons lined up nearby. Soldiers in Unionist uniforms mill about, chatting. Two soldiers are sitting by steaming pots hanging on a metal rail over a campfire. In another area, a stocky soldier reads a newspaper out loud, while two others read over his shoulder. An officer hands out small white cards to a group of soldiers, and somewhere else a few men are playing baseball. Soldiers on horseback charge along a path through a forest, while foot soldiers stand at the side, letting them pass. Once the riders have gone, the soldiers group together on the path and march in their direction. A troop marches across a field, amongst them Robert Gould Shaw, a young man with a well-trimmed moustache.
Dear Mother, I hope you are keeping well and not worrying too much about me. You mustn't think that any of us are going to be killed, for they are collecting such a force here that an attack would be insane. The Massachusetts men passed through here this morning. How grand it is to meet the men from all the states, east and west, down here ready to fight for their country, as the old fellows did in the Revolution. But this time, we must make it a whole country, for all who live here, so that all can speak. Before this war began, many of my regiment had never seen a Negro. But now the roads are choked with the dispossessed. We fight for men and women whose poetry is not yet written, but which will presently be as enviable and as renowned as any. Last night, we heard of yet another defeat, but we are not disheartened. I am honored to be part of such a splendid company. They have made me captain, of which I am enormously proud. You would think it strange to see me giving orders to 100 men, most of whom are older than I am. Thank you for sending my volume of Emerson. His words come home to me like truth. A deep man, he says, believes that the evil eye can wither, that the heart's blessing can heal, and that love can overcome all odds. My dearest love to Father, your son, Robert.
A vast swathe of soldiers march across a field, their muskets held up at their sides, and some of them waving large Confederate flags. Antietam Creek, Maryland, September the 17th, 1862. The Unionist troops advance across the field, holding their muskets out in front of them, while on the other side of the field, Confederate soldiers fire cannons in their direction. The blasts rip through the earth and the surrounding trees, raining clods of dirt upon them. Fire! Robert looks up and sees wafts of smoke obscuring the sun. A row of Confederate soldiers fire their muskets at the advancing troops, and several of the Unionists crumple to the ground, while another volley of cannon blasts rips through the field.
Steady, boys!
The Unionists return fire while continuing to advance unrelentingly. Cannons blast into the troops, flinging them off their feet. Clods of earth shower down upon them. Shrapnel from an exploding cannon rips into a soldier's head, blowing it apart. Explosions and gunfire tear through the army. Robert is thrown to the ground by a cannon blast, landing in between two dead soldiers. He clutches the side of his neck, then looks at his hand, the fingers stained with blood. The Unionists retreat across the field, while all around them their comrades in arms are felled by flying bullets and thrown into the air by cannon blasts. Roberts lying flat on the ground, clutching his head and cowering. As the Unionists run for their lives, the Confederates cheer. As a carnage ensues all around him, Robert remains frozen with fear on the ground. In the aftermath, the field is littered with the dead and injured. Black men wearing light brown uniforms and holding shovels pick up the dead and carry them away. One of the men, John Rawlins, nudges his foot against the hand of a soldier lying motionless on the ground. When he doesn't move, he moves on to Robert lying beside him and gently kicks his hand. Robert stirs and looks up at him.
You all right there, Cam?
Robert gives an awkward wave, then slowly leans up onto his knees. John considers Robert for a moment, then walks away. He drives his shovel into the ground next to a dead soldier. Plumes of black smoke waft into the sky, obscuring the sun. Now on his feet, Robert stares in shock at the carnage around him. He trudges across the field. He glances in the direction of the shot, then continues on, touching his hand to his injured neck where his collar is stained with blood. He approaches the crest of a hill, where a group of soldiers are firing cannons in the direction of the Confederate soldiers, who are far away on the other side of the field. Robert stares into space with lost, empty eyes. In a dingy military hospital, doctors struggle to hold down a patient as he writhes in pain. Another doctor stitches a wound. Crude surgical instruments are placed into a bloody bowl of water. Robert sitting on a chair watching the activity.
Still at your neck, right, Captain? Well, the surgeons are all busy, but I'll fix you. Let me know if I hurt you. It's nothing. You're the latest?
What's that?
Well, I had it from a friend who's a dispatch writer. Who got it from a friend of his who's one of Stanton's clerks in the War Office. He says Lincoln's gonna issue an Emancipation Proclamation. He's gonna free the slaves.
What?
Well, maybe not the ones in the border states or something, I don't know, but he's gonna free some of them anyway.
My God.
Yeah, said he would have done it sooner, only he was waiting on a big victory. Which is, I guess, what this is. Am I hurting you, Captain? I'm sorry.
A decorative stained glass window in the domed roof of a palatial mansion looks down on Robert as he descends an ornate staircase carpeted with a floral design. He's wearing his Unionist uniform. Men and women dressed in elegant clothes mingle and chat in a lavish room while sipping drinks and helping themselves to hors d'oeuvre being brought round by maids. Robert makes his way through the crowd and sees two women who whisper to each other, then look at him smiling. He nods to them politely as he moves past, then notices another woman laughing with pursed lips. A grim-faced Unionist soldier is pushed into the room on a wheelchair. Robert stares at him with an impassive expression.
Robert!
Thomas!
Captain Shaw! I was so proud when I heard.
I had no choice. All the other officers are dead.
And Forbes?
Impossible as always. Mm-hmm. He's around here somewhere. How about you?
Oh, working for your father. Helping him with resettlement for the Freedmen's Relief Association. There's a shortage of housing. Robert, are you all right?
Yes, sorry.
Robert, darling, there's someone who wishes to meet you.
General Hunter rounded up a bunch of slaves from the fields, called them contraband, and put them in camps like cattle. Then the War Department decided to issue them pipes rather than guns. Of course, they deserted, so would I. Robert. Governor, you know my son, Robert.
Yes, good to see you again, Robert.
Governor Andrew.
Robert, have you met Frederick Douglass?
A gruff-looking black man with a mop of gray hair and a full beard.
Mr. Douglass.
I understand you were at Antietam.
Yes.
A great and a terrible day. I could use your help, Robert.
The governor is proposing to raise a regiment of Negro soldiers.
No. It was not just my idea. Mr. Douglass and
we will offer pride and dignity to those who have known only degradation.
Colored soldiers, Rob. Just think of it.
Wonderful.
I've submitted your name, Robert, to be commissioned colonel of the 54th Massachusetts Infantry.
Robert looks stunned and hesitates before answering.
Thank you, Governor. It's a wonderful idea. Excuse me.
He heads off, leaving the others looking a little bemused.
Well done, Shaw. Splendid job, young man.
Bravo, Robert.
A young Unionist soldier, Cabot Forbes, smiles as he watches Robert leave. And a little later, he emerges from the mansion to find Robert standing a short distance away, staring thoughtfully into space.
What's the matter, Chester? Much punch?
I mean, I know how much you'd like to make colonel, but a colored regiment? You know how popular that would be? Handing out guns to 1,000 coloreds.
Cabot notices Robert's pensive expression.
Hey, Robert. What's wrong?
I'm gonna do it.
You're not serious.
Yeah. I want you to come with me.
Me? You? Can you picture me in charge of a regiment? Picture me in charge of anything.
I would be honored to have you.
Well, then you're an idiot.
Rob, is it true? There's to be a colored regiment?
So it seems.
Then I am your first volunteer.
They shake hands with Thomas Searles. Now, a Unionist band is playing.
How do we look, Colonel? You gonna whoop the success?
Hey, boss, when we get the blue suit.
Yeah.
On horseback, Robert ambles past the assembled crowd of black men, catching Thomas's eye in the crowd.
When we gonna get the fight?
He spots John Rawlins in the crowd, and they exchange a nod. Robert arrives at a desk mounted on a raised platform. He salutes Cabot.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I am Colonel Robert Gould Shaw. I am your commanding officer.
The men look at him with impassive expressions.
It is a great pleasure to see you all here today. It is my hope that the same courage, spirit, and honor, which has brought us together, will one day restore this union. May God bless us all.
Form companies.
We will commence with forming companies.
Company officers, take charge.
You recruits will report to your respective officers by the letter of your company in alphabetical order, which is in the top left-hand corner of your muster sheet.
The new recruits shuffle along a dirt path into an encampment. Thomas is reading a book.
Good book, brother?
Yes, it is, actually. Name Searles. Thomas Searles.
Jupiter Shots. What about that book?
It's a collection of essays, actually. Fourier, Emerson, all the Transcendentalists.
It got pictures?
No.
Teach me?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Reedville Camp, Massachusetts, November the 27th, 1862. White Unionist soldiers are watching the new recruits marching in.
Hell, I'd rather have a hog than a digger. At least you could eat the hog.
Riding on horseback amongst their new recruits, Robert and Cabot salute as the soldiers file into a large empty courtyard. That night, a young new recruit, Private Tripp, is sitting in a tent, easing off one of his shoes.
Sergeant of the guard, post your sentry. Yes, sir.
John comes into the tent, followed by Thomas and then Jupiter. They settle themselves in.
Wait, no, see, that's my space, nigga. I sleep better close up on that door.
Well, if you don't mind, I prefer a space with more sufficient reading light.
Oh, I like it when niggas talk good as white folk.
I'd be happy to teach you. It would be my pleasure.
Hey, look here, Snowflake. I ain't got nothing to learn from no house nigga here.
I am a free man, as was my father before me.
Oh, you free nigga, huh?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, why don't you move your free black ass on out my space before I have to bust it up?
Hold up there, Buck.
Ain't nobody said nothing to you, Pap.
It's all right. I'll be fine over here.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
A boy enters with a drum.
Wonder when they're gonna give us the blue suit.
I don't give no blue suit to no black soldiers. Blue suit for the white soldiers.
Well, we soldiers now.
Where you from, Phil, huh?
South Carolina.
South Carolina? Well, you ought to know better than that, boy. Hey, would you quit that? Hey, boy, quit that drumming.
Tripp takes the drumsticks from the boy and thrashes the drum. He lifts up the brim of the boy's hat.
What's your name, man? I said, what's your name, what?
Can't you see that he's mute?
He what?
He's mute.
You mean this child can't talk?
Yeah, come over here, honey.
The boy sits next to John.
Dummies and feel like a bitch.
What about you there, Buck? Where about you from?
Yeah, I'm around Tennessee. Yeah, I ran away when I was 12 years old. I ain't never looked back.
Well, what you doing since then?
I run for president.
Jupiter looks uncertain.
I ain't win, no.
Jupiter and Thomas break into smiles. Tripp shoots Thomas a look, and the smile fades from his face. In the mess tent, the new recruits file along a table where servers are dishing out food onto their plates. They eat at the tables while Jupiter has his hands pressed together in prayer.
Major? Boss, that's you.
Thomas.
Hello.
How are you? You know Charlie Morse.
Charlie.
Thomas Searles.
Hello.
Cabot.
So, how was your meal?
The remoulade was a trifle tart, but the souffle for dessert more than made up for it.
And your comrades?
Charming. Extraordinary conversationalists, everyone.
Major Forbes. A word, please. Oh, excuse me.
Cabot goes over to Robert.
Yes, Robert.
I won't permit that kind of fraternization.
It's only Thomas.
He's an enlisted man.
You're right, of course.
I've sent for help. These men need a proper teacher.
For God's sake, man, you're voice like a bunch of crippled old goats! Jesus Christ, we're gonna be here day and night till we get this right! Oh, one company, halt, about face! You are ugly Mexican, African fucking whores! We're gonna work on this day and night, gentlemen! Forward at the half step, march! One! You half-wit black bastard! Is it true they cut your balls off at birth? I'm gonna work on you, you bastard, till I get you broken. Company! Halt! For God's sake, man, do you not know your right from your left?
No, sir.
How many here do not know right from left?
Several hands go up. Jesus,
this is your front! This is your rear! This is your right, and this...
Now you're learning, boyo.
Company, forward, march! One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one. You bloody Hindus, get it right! Stop! Start it again. In each rank, count!
The soldiers march through a muddy puddle.
Are you a gentleman? Are you a member of Congress or something? Or are you the bloody Prince of Africa? But don't look at me, look straight ahead, look straight ahead! I'll eat your ass up, boyo.
You know, the Irish are not noted for their fondness for the colors.
What about the uniforms?
Still no word.
Rifles?
Cabot shakes his head.
See to it.
Oh, you're a big buck, aren't you?
They salute, then Cabot heads off.
Dear Mother, the men learn very quickly. Faster than white troops, it seems to me. They are almost grave and sedate under instruction, and they restrain themselves. But the moment they are dismissed from drill, every tongue is relaxed, and every ivory tooth is visible. And you would not know from the sound of it that this is an army camp. They must have had to learn this from long hours of meaningless and inhuman work. To set their minds free so quickly, it gives them great energy. And there is no doubt that we will leave the state as fine a regiment as any that has marched. As ever, your son, Robert.
Cabot hands Robert a sheet of paper.
They've done it.
Assemble the men.
The soldiers have assembled in the courtyard under driving rain.
In accordance with President Lincoln's wishes, you men are advised that the Confederate Congress has issued a proclamation. It reads, any Negro taken in arms against the Confederacy will immediately be returned to a state of slavery. Any Negro taken in federal uniform will be summarily put to death. Any white officer taken in command of Negro troops shall be deemed as inciting servile insurrection and shall likewise be put to death.
Cabot gives Robert a sideways look.
Charges will be granted in the morning to all those who apply. Dismissed.
Dismissed. Dismissed.
If you're not here in the morning, I understand.
Cabot looks uneasily at Robert, then walks away. Trip to Jupiter.
Still want that blue suit, nigga?
Jupiter stares into space with a troubled look, his face trembling. Rain dribbles outside the window of the barracks and leaks onto the windowsill. Soldiers are asleep in beds lined along the walls, but Cabot's leaning up in his bed, deep in thought. He watches Robert's silhouette pacing behind a curtain, smoking a cigarette. Jupiter's sitting by the tent flaps, staring out at the rain. He looks down at Trip, fast asleep. Beside Trip, Thomas is lying awake, wearing a troubled expression. John's patrolling outside the barracks, wearing a hat and raincoat, and holding a pike by his side. He's also lost in thought, even as he slowly marches one way, stops, turns, then marches back the way he came. The next morning, the stars and stripes are reflected in a muddy puddle as the flag's raised on a pole.
Morning, Major.
Sir, formed and ready, sir.
How many are left?
Robert steps into the courtyard to find a full complement of soldiers. Robert fastens the last button on his uniform and gazes upon the assembled men, looking back at him with determined faces.
Glory, hallelujah.
One, three, one, three, one, 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 two, one, one, come here, oh!
Thomas drops to his knees, coughing and spluttering.
Fall out when I say you're not before. Do you understand? I
said get up! Sergeant Major.
Having kicked Thomas, Mulcahy goes over to Robert.
Sir.
At ease, Sergeant. I have no doubt that you are a fair man, Mulcahy. I wonder if you are treating these men too hard. You disagree. You may speak freely.
The boy's your friend, is he?
We grew up together, yes.
Let him grow up some more.
I see.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes. Dismissed.
Mulcahy salutes, then heads off. Smoke wafts across the camp. John takes the lid off a crate, revealing rows of muskets.
57 caliber Enfield rifle musket.
Best in the world here, boy.
Shot. 11911. Woo-wee.
Think you can handle that, boy?
I can knock something down with this.
Trip. 12192.
He gives the musket to Trip, who takes it away and aims at the sky.
Davison.
Yes.
One, two,
Robert. Finally. There's a rumor going around that we're to be used only for manual labor. I can't believe the kind of things we hear. It's not true, is it? I mean, about not being allowed to fight. The men are all living for that day. I know I am.
Trip makes the chicken noise.
Don't bother about him. He's just ignorant.
Excuse me.
Robert looks mortified when he sees a group of recruits play-acting being shot and falling to the ground as if in battle. As Robert watches the charade, he remembers the real sounds of battle.
Come on!
Jupiter shoots a bottle.
Do that again. Here, give me your weapon. Give me your weapon. Do that again.
One dime he can't do.
Dime? Dime on each other.
I want money.
Do it again.
That's a
bet. Go on, boy. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go on, boy. Go ahead, Shock.
Jupiter takes aim and fires at the distant target.
That's a dime. That's a dime on each of you. I don't know about you.
Attention! Company! Attention, company!
As you were. Front and center.
Robert picks Jupiter from the men.
You're a good shot, Private.
Thank you, sir. Squirrel hunting.
You ever killed a man?
No, no, sir.
But you're handy with a gun.
Yes, sir.
Reload.
Jupiter sticks some gunpowder into the barrel of his musket.
Faster!
He inserts a thin metal stick.
Faster! Faster!
Jupiter looks startled.
Discharge your weapon. Discharge your weapon. Do it! Now do it again, only this time, I want it done quickly. A good man can fire three aim shots in a minute.
Major Forbes, give me a Colt revolver.
What?
Your gun. Give it to me. Faster! Reload! Quickly! Faster!
Robert's firing the revolver into the air behind Jupiter's head.
Faster! Do it! Do it! Do it! Do it!
Jupiter drops the musket in fear and regards Robert with a troubled expression. Robert goes to Cabot and offers him back his revolver.
Teach them properly, Major.
Yes.
Attention, company! Ready? Aim! Fire!
Robert gallops his horse between tall wooden posts, an upturned half watermelon atop each one. He slices each watermelon with his sword. As he turns on his horse, he spots Cabot approaching him.
Morning, Major.
You're up early. I want to talk to you.
Certainly.
If you wouldn't mind getting down from your horse.
Robert dismounts. He goes over to Cabot.
Better?
Why do you treat the men this way, Robert?
How should I treat them?
Like men? And what about Thomas? Why are you so hard on him?
He's not a very good soldier. I'm getting these men ready for battle.
Robert. They're already as good as the 7th ever was. They march well, they're disciplined.
No thanks to you.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me.
Who do you think you are? Acting the high-up colonel. You seem to forget I know you. And so does Thomas.
Forbes! If you don't believe in what we're doing here, maybe you shouldn't be part of it.
Part of what? Huh?
Left leg, little finger along the seams of your trousers!
Marching is probably all they'll ever get to do, Robert.
It is my job to get these men ready. And I will. They have risked their lives to be here. They have given up their freedom. I owe them as much as they have given. I owe them my freedom. My life, if necessary. Maybe so do you, Cabot. I think you do.
Cabot does a mock bow. The recruits are driving their bayonets into hanging sacks.
Take his head off!
Joseph, what have we here? Bonnie Prince Charlie and his little toy bayonet.
You're not reading your books now. Go on, go on. Get over. Get over. Now stab me.
What?
Stab me. Now come on, stab, not tickle. Hit me. Come on. You prissy little schoolgirl. You're the worst soldier in this whole company. Now hit me.
Thomas lunges forcefully at Mulcahy, who deftly swipes the weapon from his hand, butts him to the ground, then points the bayonet at his throat.
No shame, son. Get up.
Thomas sobs.
I said get up!
Nigga forgot to duck, that's all.
Sergeant, deal with that man.
Mulcahy marches over to Trip. He pushes Trip.
Save it, son. Save it.
Carry on, Sergeant Mulcahy.
First rank to the rear, back to work.
Robert. I'd like to speak to you for a moment in private. If I may.
Enlisted men wishing to speak to their commanding officer must first get permission. You understand, Private?
Yes, sir.
He salutes, and Robert salutes back before walking away. Thomas gets his sobs under control, tears streaming down his cheeks. Then he and Cabot exchange an uneasy look. In the tent, the boy's playing his drum when Trip, Jupiter, and John come in.
My. Things never change. It gets the whole world. Hey, then, Nick.
Boy, if you don't quit that drumming in here.
Honey, why don't you take your drum on outside and practice?
That Kakana Shaw, he a hard man.
Yeah, swell. It's a nigga beating swell.
But he in the same boat with us. CC Shesh come, take him, kill him too.
Not him. He a swell.
He just a boy.
Yeah. He a weak, white boy. Beating on a nigga make him feel strong. Ain't that right, Snowflake? You know, he ain't never been to no West Point, and the only reason he in charge is because his mama and daddy fixed it. Ain't that so?
Lying down, Thomas covers his face with his hat. Trip creeps closer.
He thought he was different, didn't he? Hmm? What you think now?
He takes away the hat.
You just thought you were so smart, didn't you? Yeah, you in real school now, though, ain't you? What you gonna do, cry? Yeah, he's showing up learning now, ain't he?
He puts the hat back on Thomas's face, then takes off his shoe, revealing a foot caked with mud and blood.
Oh, shit. A man say there's a farm ain't but 2-3 miles from here. Said, the lady over there give him biscuits and gravy. She said if he bring his friend, she feed them too.
Don't even think about it.
What you say, Buck? Biscuit and gravy sound good to me. Maybe get myself some real shoe.
I'm telling you, boy. They find out, they liable to shoot you.
Nigga, is you an old man or is you an old woman? I forget.
All right.
John covers his face with his hat, then Trip looks at Jupiter.
Collard green. Cornbread. Come on, dream. I'm waiting on you.
Trip lies down. Snow falls lightly as Robert wanders through the camp.
Dear Mother, news today of the defeat at Fredericksburg. If things continue to go badly, I wonder if I might not end my days as an outlaw leader of a band of fugitive slaves. Try as I may, I don't know these men, their music, their camaraderie, which is different from ours. I am placed in a position where if I were a man of real strength, I might do a great deal. But I am afraid I shall show that I am not of much account. I don't want to stand in their way because of my own weakness. I miss Christmas on Nishan Island and the smell of the sea.
Robert. It's Thomas. I just wanted to say...
Thomas hesitates, looking pensive.
I wanted to say... Merry Christmas, Robert.
A slight smile touches Robert's face.
Merry Christmas, Thomas.
Thomas nods, then wanders off. Robert rides into the courtyard of a building, where a group of people are clustered around a fire near a wagon. He dismounts his horse near some others, and an attendant leads it away. Robert heads into a building, where white Unionist soldiers are seated at tables, eating and drinking. A Christmas tree decorates a corner of the room. Robert's at a table with two officers.
You're Shaw, aren't you? Merry Christmas. Kendrick, Division Quartermaster. This sorry piece of work is Haggis. He rides vouchers.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. How's it going down there?
Oh, very well, thank you.
That's all right. Brass are all up to division planning the next disaster. You're among friends. How much longer do you figure they last? I hear they're deserting 10 at a time.
Oh, you're misinformed. We haven't had a single incident.
See? I figure the Nigs never had it so good. Three square a day, a roof over their heads. And they gotta know that nobody's gonna let them fight. Am I right?
Yes, of course.
Listen, if there's anything you need, a bottle for the cold nights?
Yes, actually, I put in a requisition for some shoes 2 weeks ago. And I haven't heard anything.
Well, provisionally speaking, we're extremely limited as to footwear. I'm afraid that kind of item has to be reserved for those units whose fighting readiness supersede yours. You understand, I'm sure.
Yes, I understand.
Kendrick regards Robert with a thin smile. Robert stands up.
Excuse me? Oh, stop by tomorrow. I have got my hands on the most delicious local jam. Myrtleberry, isn't it?
Blueberry.
Oh, right, right. Nice meeting you, Shaw.
As Robert walks away, Kendrick looks at Haggis.
Twit.
Cabot, Charlie, and Mulcahy run through the camp. Robert shaving.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it?
We've, caught a deserter.
The drummer boy walks ahead of Mulcahy and Charlie, who are escorting the prisoner past the gathered recruits. It's Trip. His ankles tied with rope and his hands bound behind his back.
Oh, Lord, it's bad. They ain't gonna shoot him, is they?
No. It'll be all right. Won't it?
John looks uncertain.
Reform your ranks! Reform your ranks!
Reform your ranks!
Fall in. Wide in the ranks. Wide in the ranks!
Right. Untie his hands and take off his coat.
The prisoner is in position, sir.
Is this?
The prisoner is to be flogged before the entire regiment.
Robert, not with a whip, not a man. Excuse us, Sergeant Mulcahy.
Your pleasure, Colonel.
Never question my authority in front of others.
Well, I is sorry, Massa. You be the boss man now, and all us chillens must learn
Major
to...
Major Forbes, stand at attention!
Cabot does as he's told, and Robert turns back to the business at hand.
Sergeant Mulcahy. You may commence.
Mulcahy pulls down Tripp's shirt, revealing a multitude of crisscrossing scars on his back from previous lashings. Mulcahy looks at Robert, who turns his gaze towards the ground and hesitates for a moment before looking back.
Proceed.
Tripp stares at Robert with an intent, angry gaze as he flings off the rest of his shirt. Gripping the edges of a wagon's wheel, he keeps his gaze fixed on Robert as Mulcahy strikes his back with the whip. Cabot flinches as he watches. Tripp and Robert's eyes are locked as Tripp endures the punishment. Tripp stares ferociously at Robert, his jaw rigid, but his face trembling slightly, betraying the enormity of his suffering. He barely flinches with each lashing, but the pain and betrayal in his eyes runs deep, and his eyes well with tears. A single tear spills from Tripp's eye and runs down his face. His face trembles with emotion, and he steels himself, pressing his lips together against the crushing agony. That night, Robert lights an oil lamp in his quarters and sits on his bed. He looks deep in thought, and a short while later, strides through the camp past a group of soldiers standing round a fire. He approaches John, who's standing guard outside a tent.
Mr. Rollins. This morning I... It would be a great help if I could talk to you about the men from time to time.
John doesn't respond, but simply stares straight ahead with an impassive expression.
That's all.
Robert moves to leave.
Shoes, sir.
He turns back.
The men need shoes, Colonel.
Yes, I know. I've been after the quartermaster for some time now.
No, sir. Now. The boy was off trying to find himself some shoes, Colonel. He wants to fight. Same as the rest of us. More even.
In a tent, John removes the shoe of a sleeping soldier, revealing his foot covered with blood and grime. Robert looks disturbed by the sight.
All of the men like this?
Yes, most of them.
The next day, Robert strides through the courtyard of Unionist headquarters, followed by John and some other recruits. Robert heads into the building, while the recruits wait outside. He goes into Kendrick's office.
Good afternoon, Colonel. You change your mind about that bottle I was talking about?
I want 600 pair of shoes and 1,200 pair of socks, and anything else you've been holding out on us. Piece of rat filth.
Well, I'd love to help you, Colonel, but we just don't have any.
Not for niggers, you don't.
Not for anybody.
I see. Pity. I'll just have a look around, see that you haven't misplaced them, hmm?
Robert pulls tins and cans off a shelf.
Son of a bitch! Damn it, you can't!
Can't I? Come on, Colonel. Nasty little cuss. You really think you can keep 700 Union soldiers without proper shoes because you think it's funny? Now, where would that power come from?
All right. Calm down. Look, have a drink.
Robert covers the glasses with his hand and later goes out to see his soldiers. John turns to look at him and Robert smiles. Now, a wagon is rolling through camp. John dispenses new shoes from it to the eager recruits. Robert watches the enthused soldiers jostling to get their hands on the shoes. Later, the soldiers try on their new shoes, smiling as they do so. In a medical tent, however, Robert looks anxious as a soldier has his bloody feet tended to. It's Tripp, who has had wax applied to his back. A bandage is placed over his wounds.
Stuart, is there anything you need?
No, sir.
Keep me informed.
Yes, sir, I will.
Tripp turns his head to look at Robert and stares at him with a venomous expression. Later, Cabot brings Robert a note.
Sir, from the War Department.
Robert opens it and reads.
Can anything be done?
They've got families. We'll protest this through channels later on. Attention, battalion.
Yes, sir.
Attention! Battalion!
You men enlisted in this regiment on the understanding that you would be paid the regular army wage of $13 a month. This morning I have been notified that since you are a colored regiment, you will be paid $10 a month.
That is fair, this is 13.
Regiment, fall out by company to receive pay.
Where you going, boy?
To get paid. $10, a lot of money.
Hey, Papa, you finna lay down for this, too? Hey, come on, Robert. Where's your pride, now?
Make your mark right here.
Look, hey.
I can write my name.
You gonna go for this?
Then do it.
They're gonna get them $13 they're gonna give us for 10. You're gonna go for that? Huh? I mean, a colored soldier stop a bullet just as good as a white one. And for less money, too. Yeah, old Uncle Abe got himself a real bargain here. Hey, what you say, Buck?
That's right, slaves. Step right up, make your mark. Get your slave wage.
Yeah,
all you good color boys, go ahead and sign up.
That's right, tear it up.
Tear it up.
Tear it up.
Tear it up.
Robert watches as the privates throw their wage slips into the air. Robert fires his gun into the air. Now still, the soldiers turn to look at him.
If you men will take no pay, then none of us will.
He rips up his own payslip. White officers bring forward bundles wrapped in white sheets. They're distributed amongst the soldiers. Jupiter receives one and quickly opens it to reveal his dark blue Unionist uniform. He looks up at Robert and grins broadly. The town has been decorated with Unionist colors and crowds have lined the streets to celebrate as Robert's men march, proudly wearing their new uniforms. Senior officers on a balcony salute, whilst Frederick and Governor Andrew hold their arms across their chests. Governor Andrew nods his approval. The men now look every inch the trained unit. Robert glances up at his mother, who looks down at him fondly. The crowd, a mixture of black and white, cheer and wave small flags. Thomas can't help but smile as he marches along. A young black boy in the crowd looks moved as the soldiers march past him. A young woman in the crowd looks anxious and on the verge of tears. Ticker tape flutters down on the unit. Now, on small barges, Robert's men are being transported along a river. They slowly float past an old plantation house.
Man, I forgot how hot it was down here. Welcome home, boys. Don't worry about it, Buck. Take a good look. It's all a memory now that the North man come.
Now that we come.
Colonel Shaw?
Edward Pierce. Special assignment from Harper's Weekly.
Harper's Weekly?
Serving an entire nation. A million loyal readers want to know what happens when the men of the 54th see action.
A million and one. Well, you'll want to see this.
Attention, company! Rollins, front and center.
Sir!
Mr. Rollins, this regiment was formed with the promise that only white officers would be commissioned to lead it. Nothing was mentioned, however, about non-commissioned officers. Therefore, in recognition of initiative taken not only for yourself, but on behalf of the entire regiment, you are hereby awarded the rank of Sergeant Major.
Rawlins accepts his new weapon and armband.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Hip, hip!
Robert steps forward.
Congratulations.
I ain't sure I'm wanting this, Colonel.
I know exactly how you feel.
Now back on dry land, the men march, led by the mute boy who's playing his drum. Young black children in grubby clothes run out of a house to take a look. Three lines of musicians lead the regiment as they march past. Rawlins stops to talk to the children.
That's right, Highness. Ain't no dream. We run away slaves, but we come back fighting men. Go tell your folks how kingdom come in the year of Jubilee.
Unionist soldiers have taken over a large white house, and the company's flag is unfurled over an upstairs balcony. Beaufort, South Carolina, June the 9th, 1863. Wagons roll through the garden as Cabot leads the regiment. Other black soldiers, in blue jackets and red trousers, go over to Robert's men.
Who are these ragamuffins?
Contraband, right out of the fields.
Hey, old man, where from?
Massachusetts.
On a march better than we? On a march like the Bukra soldier?
I beg your pardon?
Says we march like white soldiers.
Even talk like the Bukra soldier.
Where you from?
All around about here. We slaves in the field when the Yankee man comes. Say we soldiers.
How you like the army, Contraband?
Oh, we love it. We thank the Lord every day for the good victuals and these beautiful clothes. Tell true, old man, this year every day like Christmas.
Like what?
Like Christmas.
Oh.
Outside the house, smartly dressed white couples start to dance.
They've been working for weeks in anticipation of your arrival. We're all very excited to have you here, Shaw.
Thank you, sir.
Lincoln's idea. Hired a group of New Englanders to teach our colored how to read and write. Just your sort of people, I should think. The regiment should enjoy their stay here.
So I'm sure we'll have a fine time. But that's not why we're here.
Yes, well, can't promise you much action. Just having the coloreds around seems to have scared the bejesus out of the Rebs.
Colonel Shaw.
Excuse me.
I'd like you to meet some of our instructors. Dr. Thorpe of Salem.
It's my pleasure, Colonel Shaw.
Pleasure.
Dr. Rogers of Philadelphia.
I know and admire your parents.
You do, sir. I thank you, sir.
Shaw. Meet Colonel Montgomery. He's your brigade commander.
Colonel. Honored, sir.
Colonel Montgomery's a real jayhawker from Kansas. The contraband regiment is his brainchild.
You didn't think yours were the only coloreds around, did you, Colonel?
I did, actually.
Well, I'm sure they'll do just fine. Have they seen any mischief?
No, sir.
I'm hiking a company over to the Georgia coast in the morning. We'll be foraging for supplies. I could use a hand. That is, if you think your men are up to it.
They are indeed, sir.
Good. Very good. A pleasure.
Good night.
Beg to report, Colonel, sir. The troop is fed and bedded down for the night, sir.
Very good, Cop. Pass the word along to A Company. We'll be going into action in the morning.
Very good, sir.
The contraband and the 54th march through a wood. Montgomery and Robert ride alongside.
You men march handsomely, Colonel. My compliments.
Thank you, sir.
I am surprised at how well you handle them. See, I'm from Kentucky originally, and we owned a few ourselves, so it comes naturally to me. You are from Boston, are you not?
Yes.
It is impossible to imagine Boston with slaves.
Darien, Georgia, June the 11th, 1863. The squadron march into the center of a small town. Rawlins leads a group of men in quick march towards Robert.
Hold her!
Town's clean, sir. Ain't no Rebs here, just some women.
Well, all right, you hear that, boys? Let's clear her out!
The contraband run into houses.
What are you doing?
Liberating this town in the name of the Republic.
To musket, Moss Colonel, never shoot it. Shoot now.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Go ahead.
Shoot the lady, boy!
Don't shoot! We ain't secesh here.
That man is a civilian.
That man is secesh, and secesh is all the same, son.
The man runs for cover.
Look around you. Look at him. You really think anybody's gonna put these boys into some real combat? Do you?
I mean, they're little children, for God's sake. They're little monkey children, and you just gotta know how to control them.
One of the contraband is trying to loot a house.
You see what I mean? Children.
Two women fight with the soldier.
Hey, boy, take your hands off the white lady.
Montgomery shoots the black soldier in the shoulder.
Now that would not have been necessary if that secesh woman hadn't started it. They'll never learn. You see, secesh has got to be swept away by the hand of God like the Jews of old. And now I'll have to burn this town.
Make us soldiers! Make us soldiers!
Tell your men to set torches and prepare to fire the buildings.
I will not.
That is an order. You will do it or you will be brought up on charges for disobeying your superior officer.
It is an immoral order, and by articles of war, I am not bound to obey it.
Well, you can just explain that at your court-martial. After your men are placed under my command.
Let go. Robert looks down at the faces of his men.
First squad, second platoon. Fall out to set torches. Prepare to fire the town.
First squad, second platoon! Fall out!
Montgomery watches as Robert's men run over to a house and knock out the windows with their rifle butts. Robert looks anxious as a flaming torch is passed down the line of soldiers and tossed into the house, which quickly ignites. Montgomery and Robert ride on as flames lick the wooden buildings.
What you looking at, Biscuit Eater? You think you better than me? You think you my judge? You ain't nothing.
Some of the contraband run alongside Robert's men, holding their loot aloft. Robert looks back at the burning wooden buildings with a glum expression.
Dear father, I need your help. Despite my many requests, it has become clear that we are to be used only for manual labor. Morale is low, the men's good humor darkened by idleness and despair. Why keep drilling if they are never to be given the opportunity to prove themselves? I have written to Governor Andrew as well as to the General Staff in Washington, but I feel that only a letter directly from you to Lincoln himself can have the desired effect. I can think of no other course. I am sure you both pray, as I do, that all this has not been in vain.
It looks like we're going the wrong way. Hey, come on now, buck up, boys. Hey, buck up now, come on. See, someday they're gonna let the 54th get into it, see? And all your troubles will be over. Come on now, cheer up. Hey! What'd you say?
Boy? Boy?
Hey, let me tell
you. Shut up, Trip.
Would you get up off me, Snowflake?
See, let me explain something to you. See, the way I figure this war would be over a whole lot sooner if you boys just turn right on around, head on back down that way. And you let us head on up there where the real fighting is, huh?
The men dying up that road.
And it wouldn't be nothing but Rebs dying if they let the 54th in it. Listen.
As you were!
You men move on.
Stripes on a nigger. It's like tits on a bull.
You're looking at a higher rank, Corporal. And you'll obey and you'll like it.
What the hell is going on here?
Yes, you. What's your name? I'm putting you up on charges.
Oh, there ain't no cause for that, sir.
What's that, Sergeant?
Well, I mean, it's just a soldier's fight, sir.
All right, you men move along.
Go, step, forward, march.
Move it!
You men get back to work.
See you down.
Back to work! Let's go!
We'll see you again.
Good dig a latrine.
Let's grab a banjo, boy. Come on.
Later, Jupiter's reading.
I've got the guard. Let me use your looking glass. Thank you.
Yeah, button up that collar. Suck in that gut. Tuck in them big black lips. Lighten your skin. Shrink up that nose.
I don't have to listen to this.
Where you going, boy?
Let me buy.
Let you buy? Let you buy. Let me tell you something, boy. You can march like the white man. You can talk like him. You can learn his songs. You can even wear his suits, but you ain't never gonna be nothing to him but an ugly-ass chimp in a blue suit. Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No.
Well, what are we gonna do about it? You want to fight me, boy? Huh? What you gonna do about it? You want to fight me, don't you? Don't you?
Thomas pushes Trip.
Hands off me, Grave Digger.
Well, goddammit. Does the whole world got a stomp in your face?
Nigga, you better get your hands off me.
Ain't no niggas around here, you hear me?
Oh, I see. So the white man give you a couple of stripes, next thing you know, you hollering, ordering everybody around like you the master himself. Nigga, you ain't nothing but the white man's dog.
Rawlins slaps Trip across the face.
What are you? So full of hate you just want to go out and fight everybody. Because you've been whipped and chased by hounds. Well, that might not be living, but it sure as hell ain't dying. And dying's what these white boys been doing for going on 3 years now. Dying by the thousands. Dying for you, fool. I know, because I dug the graves. And all the time I'm digging, I'm asking myself when, oh Lord's gonna be our time. Well, time's coming when we're gonna have to ante up. Ante up and kick in like men. Like men!
You watch who you call a nigger. If any niggers around here, it's you.
Smart mouth, stupid ass, swamp running nigger. You ain't careful, that's all you ever gonna be. You men going back to business.
Trip thinks long and hard over Rawlins' words. Robert and Forbes are shown into a room of a smart house. The general is standing behind a desk, and Montgomery is playing the harpsichord. Robert remains standing.
Well, Colonel, what can I do for you? You can give me and my regiment a transfer to combat command.
Couldn't do it, Colonel. You're much too valuable to my operations here.
Robert looks away for a moment as the general sniffs a cigar.
May I sit? Thank you. Major.
Robert and Cabot sit down.
I've written a letter to my father, asking him to press Governor Andrew and President Lincoln. But I don't have to wait for all that, do I?
Colonel Montgomery, could you bring that ashtray over here?
Montgomery brings the ashtray over.
But valuable to your operations here, do you say? Your foraging? Your depredations? Yes, I've become quite a student of your operations in this region. 34 mansions, I think it was, pillaged and burnt under Colonel Montgomery's expedition of the Combahee. 4,000 bales of cotton smuggled through the lines with payment to parties unknown, except by you. False quartermaster requisitions. Major Forbes here has seen the copies.
Yes, indeed. Along with confiscated valuables shipped north as personal baggage.
Shall I go on?
Can you?
I can report you to the War Department. Oh, yes. I can do that.
The general slowly gets to his feet.
Let you take your regiment out to fight. That's what you want, isn't it? Show what they can do.
When?
You are bright-eyed, aren't you?
When?
Just as soon as I can write the orders.
The general sucks on his cigar.
Major.
James Island, South Carolina, July the 16th, 1863. The 54th run through a wood past fallen white comrades. Men form a line. Cavalry charge towards them from the opposite direction.
Ready, boys! Fire!
They fire at the cavalry soldiers. The cavalry retreat. Rawlin smiles as the other men all raise their caps in victory. There's one dead horse left on the ground in front of them. Shots fire from the mist, and a soldier grabs his face and falls to the ground.
Reload!
Reload!
Confederate soldiers appear out of the gloom.
Aim!
Get ready, get ready!
Fire!
With the two armies only about 50 meters apart, they fire at one another. Confederates move forward, firing as they go. A soldier next to Thomas is shot. Suddenly, the Confederates charge forward with their bayonets extended. After the command from Robert, the Unionists do the same. They clash. Tripp knocks a few out with skillful hits of his rifle butt. Cabot is in the thick of the action, stabbing and shooting Confederate soldiers. Thomas is shot in the shoulder. Tripp shoots a Confederate. Rawlins uses his rifle to defend himself. An enemy soldier races towards Jupiter, who's desperately trying to reload his musket. Just in time, he fires off a round and shoots the charging Confederate. Cabot shoots a number of enemy soldiers with his revolver. Unionist reinforcements arrive and form a line. Tripp wrestles with a Confederate but gains the upper hand and batters him with a stick. Another enemy soldier comes running towards him and is about to bayonet Tripp when he gets stabbed himself by Thomas. Thomas looks shocked at what he's done. Now outnumbered, the Confederates run, whilst under a hail of gunfire. The Unionists begin to celebrate as the enemy retreats. Robert doesn't join in with the celebrations.
Deploy skirmishers, Captain.
Robert steps over the bodies of enemy soldiers as smoke hangs thick in the air. He discovers two medics tending to Thomas.
Thomas.
He crouches down beside his comrade and friend.
How do, Colonel?
Hurts, doesn't it? Well, extremely jealous. You'll be back in Boston before me, sitting by the fire, reading Hawthorne, cup of decent coffee.
I'm not going back.
Thomas, listen to me. You're shot. You have to go back.
Robert, promise me that you won't send me back. promise me.
All right. All right.
At the Unionist camp, the white soldiers are enjoying a carnival-like atmosphere with music, dancing, and drinking. Robert and Cabot ride their horses through the camp, followed by the company of black soldiers walking on foot, many with injuries wrapped in bloody bandages.
Colonel Shaw!
What is all this?
You haven't heard? Lee was turned back in Pennsylvania, Gettysburg. Now Grant's taken Vicksburg, and all on the 4th of July.
My God!
Yeah, I know. Looks like it'll all be over by Christmas. So, how do they do?
Oh, splendid. Just splendid.
Any casualties?
42.
Oh, give me the details. I'll wire it in. I don't think we got a prayer making the paper. I'll talk to you later in your tent.
Looking disheartened, Robert continues through the camp on horseback. Tripp sitting alone on a tree log beside a lake away from the noisy camp. As Robert approaches on foot, Tripp springs to his feet and salutes.
As you were. Tripp, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you fought very well yesterday, Tripp. Sergeant Rollins has recommended that you receive a commendation.
Yes.
Yes. And I think you should bear the regimental colors.
Well,
it's considered quite an honor. Why not?
Well, I'm wanting to say something, sir, but I...
Go ahead.
All right. See, I ain't fighting this war for you, sir.
I see.
I mean, what's the point? Ain't nobody gonna win. It's just gonna go on and on.
Can't go on forever.
Yeah, but ain't nobody gonna win, sir.
Somebody's gonna win.
Who? I mean, you get to go on back to Boston, big house and all that. What about us? What do we get?
Well, you won't get anything if we lose.
Well, what do you want to do?
I don't know, sir.
It stinks, I suppose.
Yeah. Stinks bad. And we all covered up in it, too. I mean, ain't nobody clean. Be nice to get clean, though.
How do we do that?
We ante up and kick in, sir. But I still don't want to carry your flag.
A fortification set within a coastal marshland.
No one will ever take Charleston without first silencing the forts which protect its harbor. And the first one that must be taken is that, Fort Wagner. Wagner mounts a 10-inch Columbiad, 3 smoothbore 32-pounders, a 42-pound carronade, a 10-inch coast mortar, and 4 12-pound howitzers, plus a garrison of about 1,000 men. As many of you gentlemen may be aware, for the last 4 days, our Navy has weakened Wagner with a constant barrage. Headquarters has determined a time for our attack. We will proceed with a direct frontal assault tomorrow at dusk. Problem, gentlemen, is the approach. The ocean and the marsh leave only a narrow strip of sand, a natural defile through which we can only send one regiment at a time. Now, our best hope is that leading regiment can keep the Rebs occupied long enough for reinforcements to exploit the breach. Needless to say, casualties in the leading regiment may be extreme.
General Strong. 54th Massachusetts. Request the honor of leading the attack on Fort Wagner.
General Strong studies Robert's anxious face as the barrage of shells continue to strike Fort Wagner in the distance.
It's Colonel Shaw, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You and your men haven't slept for 2 days.
That's right, sir.
Do you think they have the strength to lead this charge?
There's more to fighting than rest, sir. There's character. Their strength of heart. You should have seen us in action 2 days ago. We were a sight to see. We'll be ready, sir. When do you want us?
Cabot and Robert are sitting in a tent together, wearing bow ties, drinking their liquor in silence, sharing worried expressions. Trip, Jupiter, Thomas, and Rawlins are standing around a campfire with their fellow soldiers, clapping along to a harmonicist.
He packed in animals 2x2, ox, camel, and a kangaroo. Packed him in that ox so tight, I couldn't get no sleep that night. Rolling Chip and him, tell me about God's master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Trip stares curiously at Thomas, who looks but a shadow of his former self. Jupiter, clutching his Bible, stands up and removes his hat.
Tomorrow, we go into battle.
All right.
So, Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and good book in the other.
Yeah.
That if I should die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I may know that you, blessed Jesus Almighty, are with me.
We see you.
And I have no fear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Rawlins moves to the front of the group to speak.
Lord, we stand before you this evening to say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings.
Yes, sir.
Now, I run off and left all my young'uns and my kinfolk in bondage. So I'm standing here this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask your blessings on all of us.
Amen.
So that if tomorrow is our great getting up morning,
amen.
If tomorrow we have to meet the judgment day, Heavenly Father, we want you to let our folks know that we died facing the enemy. We want them to know that we went down standing up.
Yes, Lord.
Amongst those that are fighting against our oppression. We want them to know, Heavenly Father, that we died for freedom.
Amen.
We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Come on, come on. You better get your butt up there, boy.
Hey,
come on. Just say what you think. Just say what you feel.
Oh,
come on.
Come
on,
brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go
on, let it out.
But I ain't much about no friend now.
Well, all right.
All right. I never had no family. And killed off my mama.
you feel funny, don't you?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. All right. Right. Yeah.
Come on.
Come on now. You're doing fine. Well, I just...
His eyes fill with emotion.
Y'all's the only family I got.
Well,
that's family.
That's all right.
And, I love the 54.
Right.
Thomas watches intently as Tripp struggles to find the words.
Ain't much a matter what happened tomorrow. But we men ain't.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Thomas and John nod thoughtfully. Tripp returns to John's side, overcome with emotion. Something appears to awaken within Thomas, and he joins in with the singing and clapping. Daytime at the 54th Regiment camp, and a black servant helps wrap a red cummerbund around Robert's waistcoat, then holds up his jacket for him to slip his arms into. Robert's face is filled with fear and anxiety. Once fully dressed, he inspects the ranks of soldiers.
Attention, company! Attention, company!
Attention, company!
Attention, company!
The soldiers leap to their feet, and Robert slowly walks between them, looking every man directly in the eyes. He salutes a soldier holding the regiment flag, then stops beside Jupiter, who salutes by placing his left hand horizontally across his chest.
Were you ready, Kana?
Robert smiles compassionately at Jupiter and places his hand on his shoulder. As Robert turns away, a look of dread washes over him. Now the 54th Regiment are marching down to the beach, flying the Stars and Stripes flag. They pass rows of white soldiers on either side, who watch them with curiosity. John shouts marching orders to the company. Tripp shoots a fleeting glance at the white soldiers. A watching soldier shouts to the regiment. A smile creeps across Tripp's face as he hears the cheers of support from the white soldiers. Robert smiles proudly as he rides on horseback alongside his men. The white soldiers wave their hats in the air and fire a cannon into the sky as the 54th Regiment march over the sand dunes down onto the beach. A group of men, including Pierce, are watching the soldiers from the top of a sand dune.
Ready! Fire!
Ready! Fire! Ought
to be quite a show, Pierce.
Best seat in the house.
I wonder if you might do something for me. I have some letters here. Some personal things.
Certainly, Colonel.
Also, if I should fall... Remember what you see here.
Pierce's smile is replaced with grave realization as Robert gallops off. Cabot rides to the front of the regiment, where the drummer boys are standing.
You men are relieved. Report to the rear as stretcher bearers. Do it now!
For what?
Fire!
As the drummers march away, the mute boy looks up at John.
You go on, honey. We be back directly.
Trip holds out a hand to stop Thomas from fainting as they wait in formation on the beach. Navy ships bombard the fort with cannon fire in the distance. Robert leads his horse to where the sea reaches the sand and stares mournfully out at a flock of birds skimming the surface of the water. He turns to look back at the fort beyond a treacherous expanse of marshland and sand dunes. Cannon fire hammers into the fortification, sending eruptions of debris into the pale sky. A torrent of thoughts and emotions rush through his mind as he observes the battlefield ahead. He dismounts from his horse and sends it galloping down the beach, away from the fort. As Robert walks through the center of the regiment, the soldiers wave their caps in the air and shout his praises. He walks all the way to the front, where he joins Cabot. Robert walks along the front row of soldiers, and Jupiter salutes against his chest. Robert scans the row, taking in the faces of each soldier, including John and Trip, who stare straight ahead. Robert points to the man holding the Unionist flag.
If this man should fall, who will lift the flag and carry on?
Thomas steps forward.
I will.
Thomas smiles proudly at Robert.
I'll see you in the fort, Thomas.
Thomas grins as he steps back into line, but Robert watches him with sadness. Cabot and John stare into the distance with thoughtful expressions.
Fix! Bayonets!
They attach bayonets to their muskets. They raise their muskets to their shoulders.
Charge!
Charge!
Bayonets!
They tilt their weapons forward aggressively.
At the quick step!
Forward! March!
Robert draws his sword and leads the regiment up the beach. Silhouettes of Confederate soldiers start to appear on the battlements of the fort as they draw nearer.
Double quick time! March!
The regiment quickens its pace to a jog.
Steady, boys!
They advance along the stretch of sand with a cannon aimed directly at them. Confederate soldiers load up their cannons and run to the battlements with their muskets. They scurry up ladders to the top of huge walls constructed from sandbags. Then the first rally of cannonballs is launched at the 54th Regiment, striking the ground around them, sending towers of sand into the air. Robert leads his men on a charge towards the fort, the ground erupting like volcanic geysers. Trip and John sprint across the beach as massive explosions rip through the ranks, blowing their formation apart.
Forward!
Confederate soldiers charge towards them through a blizzard of debris blasted into the sky, and a soldier clutches his bleeding face.
Keep your rank!
Smoke from the cannon fire blocks out the setting sun. The 54th Regiment scramble over barricades set amongst the sand dunes as cannon fire rains down upon them. The massive running soldiers are silhouetted against the orange sky. They dive onto their bellies, taking refuge behind the sand dunes. Cannon fire continues to hail down around them as they dig in behind the bank. Robert crawls on his stomach near the crest of the dune.
Company commanders! We'll wait here in advance under cover of darkness!
Get out over there! Get out! Company commanders! Order your men to wait here!
Darkness falls over the battlefield, and cannonballs streak through the sky, trailing bright effervescent light. The 54th Regiment remain sheltered behind the crest of the sand dune, with just the tops of their heads exposed, peering over at the fort. Huge swathes of light dance across the faces of the soldiers, like flashes of lightning.
Sergeant Lawrence! Huh? Pass the word along! Forward on my command! Forward on my command! Rally on the colors, men!
Robert and Cabot lead their men over the top of the dune into the fire of the Confederates. An explosion rips through their ranks, propelling two soldiers through the air, and another group of infantry at the front are mowed down by musket fire. A colossal blast rips through a soldier, launching his fragmented body several feet into the air. Tripp and Thomas scream as they charge across the smoky battlefield. One after another, the soldiers fall as gunfire slams into their bodies. The regiment reaches a deep trench dug around the perimeter of the fort. The ground beneath a soldier erupts, throwing him forwards into the bottom of the trench, which is filled with water and sharpened wooden poles. Robert leads his men down into the moat, but the Confederate soldiers line the top of the opposite bank and fire down at them. They throw themselves against the steep bank of the moat below the Confederate soldiers. Rawlings encourages the men to advance, but as they land in the water at the foot of the trench, they're massacred by the deluge of bullets. The Confederates lob hand grenades down at the men pressed against the steep bank, blowing some soldiers into the air. The 54th Regiment retaliate by firing up at the battlements, but the heavy cannons are realigned by the Confederates and blasted into their ranks. With his body pressed against the slope, Robert unholsters his revolver, cocks the hammer, and blows sand from the chamber. He grabs the flag carrier's hand and pulls him to his feet. As they attempt to run up the steep incline, the flag carrier is shot dead, and Robert's hit in the stomach. Robert scrambles back to his feet and pushes on, but two bullets rip through his chest, and he falls backwards in front of the terrified eyes of his regiment. Rawlins, Jupiter, and Thomas stare in horror. Tripp leaps to his feet and grabs the Union flag from the fallen soldier.
Come on!
Sheriff wails with pain as a bullet cuts through his chest. He collapses forward, still clutching onto the flag. Then his fellow soldiers charge en masse up the steep bank of the trench, and another infantryman grabs the flag. The Unionist regiment clambers to the top, where they clash violently with the Confederate soldiers. Men on both sides are gorged with bayonets and shot at point-blank range. An influx of Unionist soldiers swarms over the battlements, hacking and slashing with their bayonets. A Confederate is bludgeoned with the butt of a musket. Another is shot in the face with a revolver. The fort's lookout tower becomes a raging inferno, and a Confederate clutching at his bleeding eye is stabbed through the back by Cabot. Rawlins tussles violently with a man. He knocks him to the ground using the butt of his gun, then rams his bayonet into him. Cabot leaps over the fort wall, shoots one man with his revolver, and stabs another with his sword. Thomas kills a man, then gets stabbed between the shoulder blades. Jupiter shoots the attacker in the groin, then cradles Thomas in his arms. The 54th Regiment pour over the defense walls into the fort, overwhelming the Confederates. Cabot and Rawlins lead them through the fort, with Thomas being helped along by Jupiter. They run along the battlements and round a corner, only to be confronted with a group of Confederate soldiers aiming two cannons directly at them. The cannons blast into the regiment. A new day, and the sun hangs brightly in the sky. Waves lap gently onto the beach over a lone corpse lying face down in the sand. The sand dunes are littered with countless dead black soldiers. The Confederate flag is raised up a pole on top of Fort Wagner. Dozens of men are milling about on the devastated hillsides which surround the fort. A group of Confederate soldiers dump the body of a black man onto the ground beside a huge row of other black corpses. Their bodies are piled on top of each other, their arms skewed at awkward angles. A couple of Confederates walk along the line of dead black men to the very end, where they roll over the body of a white man. It's Robert. They throw his body into a vast open grave dug in the sand, already half filled with the dead. Another body, that of a black Unionist soldier, is rolled into the grave on top of Robert. The 54th Massachusetts lost over half its number in the assault on Fort Wagner. The supporting white brigades also suffered heavily before withdrawing. The fort was never taken. As word of their bravery spread, Congress at last authorized the raising of black troops throughout the Union. Over 180,000 volunteered. President Lincoln credited these men of color with helping turn the tide of the war.